close friends, not even family. Nowadays, seem like everybody trying to scare me. Damn, I'm even going fast. All right, we're joined by Tyler James, the publisher of Comics Tribe. Is that your title? Publisher, editor-in-chief, Grand Poobah?
Yeah, I'm publisher. Editor-in-chief is actually Steve Forbes. He will he'll throw his business cards at me if I get that wrong. But yeah, I go by publisher. And I also, you know, Grand Poobah looks good on a card as well. I don't know. Think about that one.
And yeah, you can wear the fez at the comic shows then.
Yep, I won't stand out at all. That's the great thing about comic shows.
It's the third fez from the right.
Like, exactly. You want to be a bearded dude dressed up like Princess Leia, nobody's going to even look at you twice.
You have to do two or three levels of cosplay now to even get noticed. Like, you have to be steampunk zombie Leia from Return of the Jedi. Be that specific to get attention these days.
Yeah. It's good to be back on the show, man. It's been a while since we've chatted and done one of these things, but it's good to talking to my friends up north, north of the border.
It is it's great to have you. I don't know how long it's been. It may even be a year since the last time we had you on the show.
It's been a while.
So a lot has happened in that time. And we've got Joe Mulvey is joining us in progress as we go. He, of course, has a lineup of people to talk to him on Skype. Important guy. Time is money. So, Tyler, let's talk about the last time we had you on was just probably during the Kickstarter campaign for Oxymoron. That was probably the last time. I think we had you on right before the Kickstarter wrapped up.
Right. Yep. Yeah. I think it was in the last week, and by that time we had sort of already hit the goal, and we're rolling to see exactly how big it was going to be. But it's hard to believe. I mean, time really flew from that. That was definitely an eye-opening experience, and I think the Kickstarter platform has just continued to develop and be a game changer for a lot of creators and as we're seeing more and more small press publishers.
Now, what projects have you gone to Kickstarter with since Oxymoron?
It was about a year and several months before I used Kickstarter again, and I just finished up a very different style campaign and a very, you know, very shorter and smaller for a smaller project last month for Epic. Epic's a book that, you know, I had been working on for a long time, and because of commitments of the artist and co-creator Matt Zolman, the book sort of got put on the shelf for a while. And then finally, by bringing in a super talented artist named Fico Osio to just finish up the pilot issue that I'd always sort of envisioned the first full issue of Epic was, I was treating it like a pilot, you know. I'm going to throw everything in the premise and everything, but including the kitchen sink, into this one issue. And then see what the reaction is to that. Because, you know, the effort that goes into just getting any new series off the ground, any book on the stands is tremendous. And so I wanted to make sure that, you know, if this was going to be the only issue of Epic that was ever created, it was all right in there. So I ended up taking the complete 32-page pilot issue of Epic to Kickstarter. And really what I was trying to do it was sort of to treat it like a pilot to see what kind of reaction would be to it. You know, if I had hit my goal but just barely, then I would make the book, get the book out there, get it to the people that want its hands, and then feel good about, you know, letting the project or letting the Epic go back on the back burner and work on other things. As it happened, you know, the response to it was really good. It was just a little over a 3-week campaign, but we did about 600% of what I was shooting for that initial goal. So that's going to mean that there's going to be more Epic to come. So thanks. You can thank the Kickstarter backers on there for making that project continue. And we're actually gearing up to make a big sort of splash for that series come middle of next year. So going out through the direct market and everything. So the Epic backers will get an advance the issue before anybody else, but we'll be sort of funneling the resources and energy and momentum from that Kickstarter to really kick launch the new Epic series. So excited about that. And because we did so well, I'm producing my first foil stamped cover. Foil embossed stamped cover. Yeah. I mean, I'm a kid of the 90s, man. And I was totally one of those guys that had a love-hate relationship with, like, the gimmick covers, you know? Like, on the one hand, I love them because, hey, ooh, they're shiny, cool, I haven't seen this before, et cetera, et cetera. And then you hate them because they always throw an extra dollar or two on the cover price.
Everyone forgets that part of the gimmick covers is that, a gimmick cover is fine. They would throw like an extra buck or two onto a random book on, and then you could buy the newsstand version. The newsstand version didn't have the gimmick.
Yeah, and then you just feel like, you know, you're the kid with eating the name brand or store brand Cheerios or whatever.
That's right.
You know, even if they're made in the same factory, they don't taste as good.
You're eating Wheatios.
Yeah, exactly.
And fruit circles from the Walmart. So, yeah. Two very different kinds of campaigns. And I know that on the Comics Tribe website, you've written extensively on the experience of Kickstarter and lessons learned. Now, one of the things as we see a lot of Kickstarters for single issue things. So let's talk about Epic. Yeah. We see a lot of people trying that first issue, getting the first issue out through Kickstarter. There is a question about going back to the well for the second issue.
Right.
And from what you're saying, it doesn't sound like you are going to do that.
Well, so this is sort of an interesting thing, and it was something that, you know, I've been thinking a lot about and trying to collect some information on and polling the people that backed Epic and everything. But so the first thing about, you know, funding single issues, and I think there's, you know, pros and cons to doing that. And what I think we have seen, or one thing that I've definitely seen, is for people that are just getting started or don't have a big audience built up, they're far, far, far better off trying to fund just a single issue than like a 5-issue miniseries or a graphic novel, if that work isn't already close to complete, because you know, like funding a 5-issue miniseries or a, you know, even a graphic novel, like for even a halfway, you know, a pretty affordable indie artist and art team and everything, you're still talking about, you know, 15-20 grand when it's all done in terms of what sort of going rates for getting art and story created. So that's a lot of money to have to raise to, you know, if you don't have already a pretty big built-in audience, you know? We ran an article from a guy named Wes Locker, who's a, you know, talented sort of up and coming, hardworking indie creator, but he doesn't have a lot of credits to his name just yet. And he actually had a Kickstarter fail and one succeed in the same week. And he wrote an article about it on our, on Comics Tribe. But basically what happened was he tried to fund a sort of a quirky new series, and tried to fund the whole series right off the bat. And it just seemed like it just the reality of it was he was asking for too much money for the size of his audience at the time. So the next week he revamped the campaign, made a few tweaks here and there, and just tried to fund the first issue. And, you know, I've long said that, you know, Kickstarter could either be a, you know, one-time thing where you're cashing in your chips and getting some funding going, or, you know, it has the opportunity, if you do a good job with it, delight backers, and deliver on your promises, it has the possibility of being a renewable resource. So, and I think we're seeing that, like, another buddy of mine, Joe Martino, who has the Mighty Titan series. And, you know, that's a series that would be a tough sell in the direct market. But because it's he's been able to sort of rally and draw a community to it, you know, online. And he's basically been funding each issue as they come up. And so, you know, altogether, each campaign has raised, you know, several thousand dollars, and it's enough to cover his art costs and printing. And so, you know, I think he's shown that you can use that platform to, roll out a series now.
And he's got an interesting, Mighty Titan's an interesting book, because his personal story is so compelling that it's not something you can wrap up in two sentences of solicit information and previews. Like, it just, it wouldn't matter. Like, it doesn't connect to anyone on that level. But in something like Kickstarter, where he can record a minute of him explaining why the story, like what the story means to him.
Exactly. I mean, he launched, like the, what we're talking about with Joe is Joe's a two-time cancer survivor. And so the Mighty Titan is sort of wrapping his cancer experience in a superhero story shell. And he launched his third one on the, I think, the 9th anniversary of his first cancer surgery. And yeah, that is it's a compelling thing that's a part of the story. And that's sort of one thing that the Kickstarter platform allows you to do is, you know, to let your passion for the projects come across. And the only other place that you can really do that in a way that can scale, is conventions. You know, Comics Tribe we outsell just about everybody in our area at every convention we do, because we are super super passionate about our books, and we sort of understand and know, you know, what our hooks are, what's compelling about them, how to connect them with readers. But and Kickstarter gives you the opportunity to do that in a way that is smooth and easy, and so I liken the Kickstarter platform to like a month long online convention. So you know, passion really sells, you know, as well as the quality of the product. Almost, you know, it's sort of you know, you're going to have a tough time keeping people coming back, even if you're super excited and passionate about your stuff, and then you know, nobody likes it when they get it in their hands. Like, that's you can't you can only put so much lipstick on the pig. But
well, sticking in a publishing realm here, the biggest change for small press that has happened in the years since we talked last has got to be Comixology Submit. Well, I think it is anyway. Because Kickstarter was probably the biggest of the year before. So you've got almost all the Comics Tribe books on Submit now, pretty close to.
I think we're close to, we almost got like 19 titles up there, already with, like, we're with, we released the Oxymoron, shorts that were a part of the Oxymoron hardcover, bundled a couple of them up at a time and released them as just digital shorts, 99 cents. Again, sort of just experimenting with the platform and seeing what tends to work there. And I'm actually, my next article on Comics Tribe will be about the game-changing nature of just Comixology in general, which with Comixology Submit being a subset of that. But I mean, I got to tell you, Keith, going into Comixology Submit, we got there.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Riley Rossimo is just a chatty, chatty man.
He's a happy, friendly Canadian. He's
unbelievable.
Canadian treasure, local boy makes good. Riley
Dude,
Rossimo.
He is a Canadian treasure. Why didn't I think of that beforehand when I was talking? It would have been so nice.
You were sharing a Molson with Riley Rossimo and
We actually got to the point where Riley was. We were talking about how Nick Patara and I are going to make a show that's like Unperfect Strangers, and it's just like Cousin Buttfucky and Cousin Larry. just insanity. So, yeah, it was funny. It's good.
Just another night for Mulvey.
That's it. Just another night. All right, I know I've delayed you guys a ton. Give me 2 minutes to shut the heat off because it's 30 degrees outside, but I'm next to a radiator that must have the devil's dick in it because it's so fucking hot. I'm sitting here like I'm fucking getting grilled by the cops.
Well, we started without you, Joe, so you've managed to be late and interrupt Tyler. So, nice work.
Did I really? That's fucking awesome.
We've been recording for 20 minutes already.
Can I tell you something? This literally speaks exactly to the scam series where Tyler was going along doing all this stuff and then I jump in.
Mulvied!
Mulvied hard. The metaphor for this is just fucking arousing. All right, so then you know what? Forget it. I'm just going to put my headset down, go shut off the heater, and then you guys keep going.
All right.
I'll be right back.
So we were talking about Submit.
Yeah, so just, I mean, for anybody that doesn't know, I've been, for the past 2 years, just beating down the Comixology doors to try to see when, we could get our books on that platform. Because, it's been pretty clear that they have won the, at least as far as comics is concerned, they've won the digital title there, and they're sort of the 800-pound gorilla in the room when it comes to digital comics, and they're actually selling a bunch of them. So we've been trying to get on for a while, and then we ended up getting in at the very last minute to their beta, which allowed us to have actually Scam, which was released the first week that Comixology Submit sort of opened its doors. So right now we've had three sales reports come back from Comixology. One of the drawbacks and one of the things that I hope they work on is that right now publishers who go through Submit get sales statements 4 times a year. So 45 days after the end of the quarter. Okay. It's kind of hard to tell what marketing is working and whether or not anybody's buying books or what have you, if you only can, check your sales 4 times a year.
Yeah, I've done sales tracking and I can't imagine. Okay. So every media hit I had in a 90-day period. I don't get that report for a month and a half after. So how big was that Newsarama interview we did? What was the We Talk Comics bump?
Exactly. I can't measure the We Talk Comics bump. So I'm just going to have to, write a note for myself that check those Q4 numbers.
Big. It's going to be huge.
Huge. So that's one thing I'll ding them on. But they've actually been, they've exceeded expectations in a lot of ways. When we first got on there, there was some things set up where they really weren't showcasing publishers very well. Like, you could search for titles, or you could search for a creator, but if you typed in Comics Tribe, nothing came up, which is troubling. But they, you know, after a month or two, they fixed that and actually gave us our own publisher page and let us get all, get, you know, some snazzy image, Comics Tribe branded imagery in there and everything. So, you know, they've been responsible on that end. And then, I mean, you know, it really is about sales and downloads. And, you know, I've actually been pleasantly surprised. You know, we're not, not driving Porsches or anything yet. And it's still a fraction of our direct market sales, but,
Without getting into specifics, I mean, can you talk about percentage wise what it looks like compared to your print?
Yeah. So, well, I mean, it's a little hard to say because it's different, right? Mm-hmm.
Because you've got a time delay too. I mean, you're not same day digital.
Yeah. Well, we will have a couple titles that are, but. Basically, when we first started, we were playing catch-up, trying to get our whole backlist up.
Right.
And right now, there's about it's about 30 days to 2 months of a wait from when you upload your files to when they actually go live on there. So, you know, we've got three or four titles that are sort of approved and processed and just waiting to go live.
Is the standard for one of them?
Standard 3 and 4. We don't even have the standard 3 up there.
Oh, 3 isn't up yet?
No.
I can't remember. I don't know how long I've been waiting for number 4 of that book.
No, I mean, 4 is actually, it should have been out this week or before. There was a warehouse mix-up that finally got straightened out, and I've just got confirmation today that Diamond now has their copies, so standard 4 will be out in shops on the 4th of December. And on Comixology soon to follow. So yeah,
it's going to be a Comics Tribe month.
Yeah, dude, we got three books coming out that month.
Wow.
Standard 4 will be out the first week, and then the big balls scam number 4 finale will be out the 18th, as will the Red 10 number 5. So
wow.
we're shutting down the year big.
And it's like a 48-page scam finale, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, well, this is the scam. I don't know if Tyler has told you this, but pretty much it's a 4-issue miniseries, but you get 6 issues worth of comics.
So we basically scammed ourselves.
Yeah, we said, how can we make any profit, and then let's shit on that. Let's shit all over it, and let's just give everyone what they don't want, and just give them more.
How can I make money if I'm losing money on every copy? How do we make a fortune? The answer, volume.
Right. Because here's the thing. If I got paid per panel, I would be the richest man in comics for the month of December. I make a lot of panels in my books. However, I don't get paid at all. And Tyler is a slave driver. But I've been cleaning his car. I mean, and I live like 4 hours away. He makes me come and clean his apartment. He's a little bit of a control freak. But it's going to be – December's going to be a fun month for the tribe. And then forget about January. January kicks off the year of Comics Tribe.
Yeah, forget about it. It's just going to be insane.
It's going to be an insane year.
So, yeah. So, but the great thing about Submit and –
I to come in with a whirlwind of just absolutely going nowhere, and Tyler just wrangles it back in. This defines us. This defines our relationship.
Mulvey is just a nuclear reaction ready to go, and I'm the fucking Enola Gay bomb that's going to contain it.
Oh, God, I can see everyone going on the fact that Mulvey's the Enola Gay, or whatever. There's something's going to come out like that. But let me just say this so it is in text, and I don't know if we ever have, in case anything ever comes out to the contrary, Tyler James is a comic book genius, and how any publisher has not snapped him up literally with a black bag over his head in the back of a Lincoln Town car and made them work for him is beyond me, because I don't know a cat that is smarter to the world of comics, more hands-on, and more directly involved with every single thing as a good publisher and editor-in-chief and all that stuff should do than Tyler. So any success the Comic Tribe has is absolutely creator-driven, but Tyler is the captain steering the ship. So that's the nicest compliment I'll give you. Now blabber on with your professionalism, you jerk.
You son of a bitch. Well, you know, the good thing about what JoJo said there is that I get, you know, I basically, he was my guinea pig with Scam. I mean, you know, Scam was the tip of the tip of the spear when it came to getting us out there and into, you know, a lot of shops and then through Diamond. So, you know, I would probably still be tiptoeing and dipping my toes in the waters had it not been for Mulvey to come, you know. Everybody jump in the pool!
He's the brain on the balls. That's how this monster works.
So you're getting more than you bargained for here, Keith.
We actually did not even introduce Joe. Joe is well known to our audience. Joe Mulvey, writer artist on Scam, which is just about to wrap up here in December, and quit his day job to focus entirely on comics. We'll be writing. He'll be drawing caricatures in Central Park on weekends. one for background on Scam Volume 2.
Yeah, I will just say this. I will do anything you want in Central Park for money, okay? We don't have to keep it to just the pencil thing. You know what I'm saying?
Giuliani's not mayor anymore. It's you can go back to the old days.
Back to the Wild West and just jerking and jogging. That's all we're doing in the park.
Wiener 2016!
That's an awesome sweatshirt logo right there, jerking and jogging.
Yeah, well, I don't want to ruin it, but it might be the name of my next Comic Trial series. I don't want to give anything away.
Yeah, spoilers.
So, which will be available on Comixology Submit, but not through Apple. So just don't order that one in app.
Ain't they a bunch of prudes?
but so like one of the interesting things about Submit though, like and tying it into the Joe series, like next. You know, we're going to break this. I think you said you're going to drop this a little later, and it'll be announced by then. But Scam Zero Crosswords One Shot is going to be our free comic book day book for one of our free comic book day books for next May, so for 2014. And in addition to being out in shops, you know, we'll put it on Comixology Submit a couple weeks later. And the week that that comes out will probably be the biggest week for Scam sales digitally that we've ever had. You know, we have, like, the Red 10-0 is on Comixology Submit, and it's a free download. And that thing has already been downloaded in just the first 2 months that I have data for it 15,000 times. And so that's driven a ton more sales for the Red 10. So, you know, one of the great things about the Red 10 series is that, like, now that we sort of have a backlist and we're about to go to trade with that, we're actually starting to get to the point where that series is not only, you know, each issue paying for the next issue, but hopefully actually starting to accumulate something, you know, close to what looks like profit, maybe?
is that the image book?
It'd be nice. It'd be nice one of these days to actually see some profit from this stuff. But
are you gonna collect the first five or the first six as the trade, or zero to five, or
for the Red 10?
Yeah.
It'll be probably zero to five, because I think 10 is going to be extra big. So we'll probably do zero to five is the first trade of the Red 10, and then 6 through 10 will be. And we're going to probably hold 6 so that it will come out the same day as the Red 10 trade for 1 through 5. Because, you know, as sales go in the direct market anyway, your first issue is always going to be your biggest issue. And there's going to be attrition as you go. But the one place for, you know, new jumping on points is when that trade can get out there for collecting the first group of issues. So we're hoping to try to get another bump up with issue 6 to try to, you know, continue sales and get us going for the home stretch, because, you know, the book, I think, just gets stronger as it goes along. There's less characters for Caesar to draw. And it's going from there. But yeah, so Scan Zero is going to drive, hopefully, a lot more interest back into the Scam series. We have Eisner-nominated writer Jason Cherimella did the script for Scam Zero. It's just a kick-ass story focused on crosswords that Joe is working on right now.
Literally as we speak.
Like, well, no wonder you're late.
Well, no, that's because I was just talking. That gets me in a lot of trouble, too. So.
If, unlike that guy that sued McFarlane, if you want to use my name for, you know, a villain, child monster who gets viciously murdered, I'll sign the waiver, whatever you need.
Well, let me tell you something. In Scam, and you know, to any of your listeners who've read the book, there's the female love interest, I guess you'd say, in the book is named Joy, and she's a short-haired, sassy chick, and that's named after my wife, who's also named Joy. I don't want to say that I stretch my originality too much, but you know,
right, what you know,
I even said that to her. I'm like, I'm gonna need you to sign a document. You know, I need you to sign something. I'm like, you know, I don't know how things are gonna end between us, and you know, I don't want this Scam empire to end in your hands. Because I know I'm a horrible husband, so at the very least, you know, try to have the fans' backs taken care of. But, yeah, I actually did that a lot. I had, like, I put a lot of friends in, actually sold advertising space, I can say that, in the last issue to local businesses to have their businesses advertised, like, on window fronts and all that kind of stuff. So
Paul Miotti did that on one of his Kickstarters that – it was, I can't remember which one it was, but you could pay to have one of the character, one of the doctor characters in the book named after you.
Oh yeah, that's I mean,
it's in Retrovirus.
It's one of the more you know, popular rewards that gets popped up on Kickstarter campaigns. I've seen it in a bunch. You know, people can play. I think somebody paid $400 in the dark Kickstarter to get murdered in the next volume of Luther Strode. And you know, hey, Trad Moore drawing your death. You could do worse than that. So.
It is. Well, it's not many people get immortalized on a comic. I know a guy who claims to be the inspiration for one of the characters in Cerebus. He knew Dave Sim way back when, and used to be drinking buddies, and he claims that he was the basis of Bear in Cerebus. I'd love to confirm, or part of me wants to confirm it, part of me doesn't. Part of me, it's better to just leave it as he claims it.
Well, I mean, you know what? If you're friends, or even just in the mind of an artist when he's doing stuff, like, I'll tell you, I've done tons of background shots where all of a sudden, like, I just close my eyes and I'm like, oh my God, I need like 20 people to fill out this scene. And I think of every loser I went to school with, or I think of, you know, every drunk on my softball team, and I'm like, all right, here we go. I'm drawing Fat Brian 3 times in this crowd scene. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm going to notice that now. Just, every background scene, everyone's posed like they're in a high school yearbook.
Yeah.
Everyone's facing directly toward the reader.
Yeah, no, it happens. And I think it's a cool way to kind of – I mean, comics, as they are, you have a really fun interaction with the audience already, like more so than any really other entertainment field. So to do that, kind of bringing another person into it so that they feel like they're part of it, I don't know. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, Scam 3, we put, what, half a dozen of the top retailers in comics and
yeah,
get their
punch
ass
them right in the face.
Kicked. Yep.
Right in the face.
Well, the other unique thing that you guys tried with Scam was the billboard. So I think you were Last time, I'm trying to remember if it had been up since the last time we talked to you guys, or whether you were just about to put it up. What was your experience with trying different kind of advertising, and what have you thought of some of the changes that have happened in advertising over the past year in comics?
Ty, do you want to take that first? Or do you want me to?
Well, I mean, I think from the first part of it is that it was an interesting experiment. I mean, to get the same kind of coverage for Scam on all of the websites that actually covered the story, if we had to do that as a paid advertising blitz to get the same banner image that we had, it would have probably actually cost more to do the web advertising than Joe's investment in the billboard. So, I mean, that was sort of the fallback plan was, you know, even if this was a total bust for driving traffic or interest, it was going to guarantee that we were going to get people talking about it. And that definitely came to fruition. And the thing was that we sort of mitigated the risk of the investment a little bit by reaching out and partnering with a shop out in Vegas to get their name on the banner, and in exchange for them buying a metric fuck ton of Scam One. And I think it worked out for them. They definitely had a lot of people going in the shop looking for the book. That single retailer probably sold more copies of Scam than any other, than the rest of the world combined. and I think we got a little bit of a foothold in Vegas, so that if we do in fact make it out to the amazing Vegas Comic Con next year, people are going to know we're coming. So I think those are all good things. I think on the downside is just that, with marketing, you want to be able to follow it up and taking one, it's sort of like a big, doing an advertising blitz like that is like taking a freaking huge uppercut or haymaker and then not following it up with any jabs or any punches and everything. And so to really keep the momentum going in the direct market, we can't have the kind of delays between issues that we ultimately had with Scam. And, that's sort of a takeaway for me. But,
I would say it's a lesson learned I don't think we could have, and I can't say you can't buy like exposure like that, because that's pretty much what we did. But so you can buy exposure like that outside of jacking it in Central Park at the Jagging and Jogging
that's for the
seminar
next
that I will be giving every Thursday. But I think that kind of I would just echo what Tyler said, next time, instead of swinging like a haymaker, a more calculated approach, even now, I won't give away too much stuff behind the scenes, but now there's, on my wall, I could tell you right now, I have a previews schedule that's out there, so I know when things have to be in for covers, solicitation for this, for that. On my end, I needed to know a better sense of general business description of when things happen, how things happen, which I was definitely naive to going into the first series. So I definitely kind of floated time that I didn't have that I thought I did. And again, echoing what Tyler said, had we been able to had a more consistent schedule and pair that, with maybe, another marketing push or whatever, it would have been a little bit more effective. But at the same time, man, I can't tell you how many people, initially knew us at conventions and all this stuff as the billboard guys. I remember Tom Brevoort saying something you guys have put up the billboards? Somebody wanted attention. I was like, yep. I was like, did I get it?
There's something ridiculous about someone at Marvel talking about shameless self-promotion.
Yeah, that was true. But in response to the second part of your question about how do I think advertising has changed, I don't really feel I did see who just had an oh, I think it was Sandman. The new Sandman series had a television commercial, which I think is great, but yeah, it's still
television,
like,
commercial and Times Square. They played it as well.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's long overdue, man. Comics are way too progressive and amazing of an entertainment form to not have advertising. And you know, I've spoken with people about this that are in advertising, and they're like, we cannot understand it. And except for the fact that it behooves the big two to keep comics as they are, because comics are defined by the characters, they're not defined as a medium, and that's the biggest problem with comics. So, I mean, I can guarantee you I will continue to try to come up with new and inventive things. Like, I remember right after that calling up Tyler being like, we got to get a bus skin. We got to get like this and that, you know? And Tyler was like, all right, calm down. You know, like. So, and I still want to get a bus skin, but we'll talk about that after this. But yeah, like all these things, I mean, I will never say anything is like, you know, an uncalculated loss, because this is, you know, obviously now in the seat I'm in, this is what I want to do as a career, and this is something that, you know, Tyler's got the chops for and the head for, and, like, you know, I want to be coming back in, you know, 3 or 5 years and talking to you, and we're running Comics Tribe full time as a, you know, as a legit corporation, and we're just growing into, you know, success and growing into more stability. But I'll always try to do some sort of advertisement.
Well, hopefully I'll be interning at Comics Tribe by then. I'll be you know, taking out your trash.
We need a Canadian
Canadian branch.
Yeah, we do. We got to talk about that. We can only pay in poutine and Molson, but if you're good with that.
That's all I buy anyway.
That's the point of the realm, right?
You just.
By the way, I just said poutine and Molson, and a tear just came out of the corner of my eye.
You're cutting out the middleman is all you're doing there.
Dude, my liver and my liver and heart are in Canada, so don't worry about it.
It's heartwarming that you'll still do the show when you're that big.
I don't think I'll ever be that big. You have to see the train wreck that I am in person. Trust me, you'll be like, wow, that guy is. I was just saying to Riley Rossmann, I'm like, I want to be the Belushi of comics. He literally was like, I think you're halfway there. He's like, if you just keep hanging out with Nick Buttar, I'm pretty sure the both of you will be the Belushi brothers of comics.
I think
I'm like, that's great.
I think you're already the Jim Belushi of comics. Now you just have to.
I got to struggle a little harder. By the way, that should be the most offensive thing anyone's ever said to me. You're the Jim Belushi of comics. How dare you, sir? How dare you? I'd rather be the Rick Moranis, for fuck's sake. Give me some.
He had a couple of franchises, at least.
Seriously.
Just 1 second, guys.
Go ahead.
Oh, shit. Do. What's the there should be some pause music or something.
Yeah, no, I like it.
Saying goodnight to my
little.
No. Go right ahead, dude. Take your time.
All right. Good to go. I have no idea where we're going.
We were about to talk about Scamthology, weren't we?
That's it.
Let's talk about Scamthology.
Yeah, man. So, you know, for the past year, while Joe's been finishing up the miniseries, we've sort of been opening up the sandbox and invited some of our buddies in the industry to play with the Scam universe. And I got to say, the results have been spectacular, and we're just going to unleash this beast in January on the public. So definitely look forward to that. It's one of the things that, you know, sort of in reviewing and the miniseries now that it's complete and sort of getting that ready to go to trade and everything, just amazing how many characters and just, you know, how much madness Joe crammed into this 144-page story. And there's definitely was just a lot of room for and interesting characters that the artists and writers that we brought in for Scamthology to play with. So, you know, credit to Joe for just making it so it was easy to have some fun there. So, you know, we're excited about that.
Yeah, all the stories that are coming in from Scamthology are, like, unbelievable. Like, I was just saying that to someone else. Like, it's one thing to create and draw something, and you know, like I'm sure Keith, you saw the final PDF of the series and all that stuff, and there's a nice feeling to having a completed bit of work done, and all of a sudden you're like, all right, I did that, like, you know, cross that off the bucket list. And for me, I know where Scam started, and I know now, you know, it started at 18 with me and my father walking around Vegas and this idea just starting up in my head. And, you know, now all of a sudden, you know, at 34, it's finished. It's going to be collected. It's going to be a trade. It's going to be there. It's like, how many times do you actually get this idea and you actually see it through? So there's this unbelievable amount of pride. But then you have this thing of, like, all these people being like, oh, this is kind of a cool character. I could do, like, a quick story on this and that. And you have all these established talent, up-and-coming talent doing these stories, and you're like, wow, this is kind of like an overwhelming feeling. Like, at a certain point, I remember thinking to myself, like, this is surreal. Like, it's very surreal to have Ben McCool sending me a script about, you know, True from Scam. And, you know, what do you think about this and that? And then you're bullshitting with him back and forth on your character and this and that. And then there's some part of you in your head that just goes, this isn't right. This isn't right. This is, you know, this isn't cool. You know, Joe Eisman sending you layouts or something. You're like, this just doesn't, this is not right. Something is off here. And then all of a sudden you just keep getting more and more of it. And then, you know, you just kind of look at it and you step back and, you know, Tyler can attest because he's been really stepping up as a project manager on it. And, like, it's just, it's really good. It's really, really good. Like, it's the way I've been, like, trying to describe it to people who don't normally read comics is Scamtology reads like almost like a season of a TV show or of a, you know, I guess, sort of a Netflix basic cable show where, you know, we're allowed to push the envelope a little bit more. But it's going to be, like, obviously the crowning achievement of Scam because it's – how many stories is it? 13, Tyler?
For up to 14 now.
Okay, it's up to 14. See? That's why he's the project manager. Well, up to 14.
So it's actually, like, the size of Oxymoron.
It's bigger. It's bigger, actually bigger than Oxy.
Yeah.
And, you know, we haven't actually announced it publicly yet, but what's how it's all going to come out is the Scam Ultimate Collection will be, you know, the physical form factor for that will include the full Scam miniseries and the full Scamthology. So we're talking about a 256-page book,
wow.
Oversized hardcover, fucking, you know, out the yin yang. That's going to be the form factor for this thing.
Calling it the boner book. You're going to look at this book and just swell up.
Ding!
Yeah, that's it. It's going to come with a cup. It's the don't bust your jeans package.
Get on board. So, yeah, so that's the plan there. You know, we'll also make both, you know, the Scam miniseries available digitally and the Scamthology available separately for people that, you know, have already plunked down their hard-earned money on the series and just want to get it another way. But for the those rabid collectors out there and just, you know, it was also the sake of us not wanting to have, you know, inventory for two separate books to keep track of. I think we're excited to basically just create this kick-ass premium book that'll, you know, look nice on the shelf next to the Oxymoron hardcover.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. Well, that is that's everything I got on the idea of publishing Comics Tribe. Thanks for your thoughts. Anything more you want to add on the publishing end? I mean, this is the feature on behind the scenes with comics. Hearing some of the stories that we don't normally hear. Except, you know, occasionally when bad things happen in the industry, you don't often hear the good parts behind the scenes. There are no bleeding cool headlines of today an editor got along with his writer and they really worked together to break the story.
Well, I think the bigger you get it, the bigger the company and the bigger the responsibilities and all that kind of stuff, I kind of don't rush to judgment on those people. That said, Tyler sexually you know, molest me constantly, every convention, every single time, and I just don't complain about it.
Well, he's got to make it just comics. So there are rewards too, is what you're saying, Joe?
Right. There's an upside to the downside.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, it's just a good thing. Comics Tribe is on the uprise, and it's very fun to be a part of it.
Yeah, I mean, we're still this. I think the last year was just, hey, you know, try to make a big splash in the pool. You know, this year's sort of been, all right, let's not get kicked out of the pool and stay in there. And then, you know, I think what you're going to see next year is us, you know, going at things a little bit more strategically, you know, not rushing to get books out there without having, you know, the next issues waiting in the wings and really ready to go, so that we can, you know, not just, you know, get out there with a splash, but sort of try to maintain that as best as possible. But yeah, I mean, you know, we're going to continue to play around with other platforms and you know, use Kickstarter strategically where it makes sense. One thing that you had asked earlier that just to come back to, Keith, was the question about, you know, whether you go back to Kickstarter for a second or third issue or whatever. And we talked a little bit about Joe and how he's making that work. But the other thing that I thought was interesting was on my most recent campaign, I sort of asked the backers that supported the project, I asked them, you know, if you had a choice of how to get the next issue of this comic, what would you prefer? And I gave them, you know, at their local comic shop on Wednesdays, I gave them Comixology for downloads. I gave them, through the Comics Tribe website, or online store. And I gave them, another Kickstarter with, you know, because they like the premium options and other things and bonuses. And of the Kickstarter backers for my most recent project, nearly 40% of them said Kickstarter is their preferred way to buy products. And I think for international fans especially, and, you know, for some people that really do get off on both the collectability nature of premium items and signed items and artist edition stuff that you really can get through Kickstarter campaigns, and then also, you know, the convenience factor of them being able to, you know, just have it show up at their house. They don't have to go leave the house. They don't have to go to convention. And then also just the simple fact that this is they have that direct connection with the creator and can, you know, get the story behind the story. I think it's clear that there are some people that really just like that platform as a way to consume their media. So it's definitely going to be something fun to watch. And I think also as digital sales continue to go, Comixology will continue to be big. But really we're going to put a big focus next year on meeting more retailers because – I think Kickstarter and Comixology are good for, you know, some numbers, but to really get those big crowds, you need access to that hardcore fan base that really does shop and frequent the shop. So, you know, we're doing an all the above strategy.
Comics Tribe Worldwide Tour 2014. You heard it here first. Canada will be involved.
Well, it's about freaking time. I don't know how often I've tried to get people to think of Canada as a player, as a giant population base, and then this past week, Western Canada didn't get its comics because the truck got in an accident.
Shot yourself right in the foot, didn't you?
The truck.
The Canada truck.
Son of a bitch. The definite article there.
Did you hear Mike slipped in? No one gets comics in all of Canada.
Hey, what's that all about?
Nobody.
Oh. Listen to me. Canada is, to anyone who is worth the damn in comics, we know what Canada is. You guys have a lot of great shops up there. I mean, you know, like, I think, was it Alpha Comics? Was one of the first guys that really
were
just a tremendous help to us. Like, you know, and it's fun because when you reach, initially when you reach out, you know, retailers have no right, you have no right to bother retailers because they have no right to expect anything from you or want anything from you or trust that you'll deliver anything. So, like, you know, kind of like what Ty had said before, that's what we want to do in 2014. We want to show a little bit more consistency, stability, you know, a hell of a lot more of a strategic plan. And, you know, those guys and you guys up in Canada have been huge, huge for us. Because I can't tell you, number one, from the launch of Scam going until right now, I think I've had, if I did the percentages, I'd say like maybe 20, 25% of the commissions I get are from Canada. You know, like, so you guys are a big comic-loving, snow-shoveling, poutine, Molson-drinking, beautiful sons of bitches. That's the way I look at Canada. So, no, I want to get up there. I heard Vancouver has a great convention. Calgary has a great convention. Toronto, I don't think I heard anything about it, but I know it does have a convention.
Toronto does have a sizable one, yeah. I don't know what the comic scene is like at the Toronto convention, because it's one of the biggest conventions overall. Calgary's been a good show. It's struggling a bit because it often the same weekend as C2E2. That's made it a big challenge for them.
Yeah. And I mean, like, once you get into convention schedule, it's insanity. Like, I just really got into it like over the last year, and you look at the, you know, convention season, once it starts, it goes like 9 months. Yeah. There's a convention every single week.
Every year it gets longer. I mean, hell, John Lees is going to a convention tomorrow.
Yeah, but he's going in Ireland, isn't he?
Yeah, it's the Thought Bubble one.
Yep,
which is,
I told my family to go over there and smack him in the mouth.
And then, yeah, you know, I had New York Comic Con email me today about renewing my booth. I'm like, go fuck yourself. talk to me in 3 months.
You've got to be guests. Yes, okay.
I just saw contesting or something for, it was someone giving away a pass to New York Comic Con in 2014. Seriously, it was like a week and a half ago, wasn't it?
Yep. They don't wait, man. But then again, you know, those events are ridiculous. Like, what it takes to put on something like that, it does require a year's worth of planning. But not for me, man. We're back in over the winter. We're back in the lab. We're creating new stuff. You know, I've got about three or four scripts to get done before the end of the year, and then, you know, these campaigns and other things to manage and orchestrate and putting the finishing touches on Scamthology. So it's going to be a bit creatively busy for the next few months, but that's good. And by the time, you know, my official con season next year rolls around, I'll be pumped for it. but I'm definitely glad it's over for this year.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us. We have to get
Keith down to New York.
I would love to do New York. I was telling Tyler that the biggest challenge of New York is that because of the flight and then, you know, just the cost of staying in New York, it's almost a wash for the cost of going to San Diego. It is like just that much of a. I mean, San Diego is the most expensive trip I've ever had, and it was amazing, but it was.
Well, do you get what's the Canadian and American exchange rate?
We're only a couple of cents off par right now. The U.S. dollar's only it's 105 or something, like year away. It's not significant. But just flights cost more in Canada,
All right. Well, here's the thing. I'm gonna come to Calgary at some point. Because I gotta meet Bret Hart. I mean, that's on the bucket list. So,
well, I got a futon, and as long as I can find a way to get the moldy smell out of it after,
it's not the moldy smell.
I'm not that
attached
to the
smell that accompanies the moldy. That's the problem.
I mean, I'm not
and
that
by the way,
futon.
I don't hire hookers. Listen to me, in case anyone's wondering, I don't hire hookers for, you know, what they're intended for. I just like to have people do weird things, and I pay them for it. I like to just have someone call and make prank phone calls with me until 4 in the morning. And when I'm in a strange country, I need to pay for that kind of friendship. So, you know, that's what will happen. But if you ever come to New York and you do the convention, I have a house. Tyler will attest to this. You're more than welcome to stay in the backyard in a tent or maybe even, you know, find a back alley. Whatever is comfortable for you.
It's a lovely New York experience.
Yeah, New York is known for its tenting. That's...
It's true.
I just stick an Occupy sign next to it, and no one.
That's it. That's it. You could sleep anywhere as long as you say it's a protest. What are you protesting? Baloney. All right, you got 72 days.
Not a minute more, yeah.
But then you better be out of here.
I'm part of the Occupy movement. Well, you don't even have to tell us what you're protesting then.
No, that's it.
I don't have that kind of time. See you in 72 days. All right, thanks, guys.
No problem, dude. Thanks for having me.